Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, February 2nd, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me. Holy cow, do you hear that? That, of course, is Miss Dolly Parton singing her little heart out in the background. I know what you're thinking. Why this particular song, Dr. Dick? Well, I'll tell you, I'm setting the mood for my very special guest. Today, I have the distinct pleasure of introducing you to one of the bad girls of erotic fiction. That's right, I'm honored to have with me the ever so beautiful and oh so talented Jolene Hooey. As you know, we've been chatting with noted erotic artists from all over the globe in this series of interviews I'm calling The Erotic Mind. We're looking to uncover something of the creative process involved in this specialized art form. Jolene is a journalist, a playwright, a prolific author of literary and erotic fiction, and just about anything else her fingers feel like typing. She's as sizzling hot as her fiction and has a wicked sense of humor, as you soon will discover. But wait, there's more. Jolene treats us to a very explicit and oh-so-appetizing morsel from one of her short stories. Believe me, sex fans, this is not to be missed. But first, we hear from today's podcast sponsor, Ropex. Listen up, you guys. Are you worried that you're not making as much jizz as you would like? Or maybe you're shooting plenty, but it looks all anemic and watery? Well, I have just the thing for you. Ropex, the original Swedish ropes formula. That's right, Ropex is the natural way to increase semen volume, so that when you bust your nut, you'll have some nice ropey spooge spewing out your willy. Hey, don't be misled by the outrageous claims of all those bogus male enhancement products out there. Ropex is not a cure-all, mind you, nor does it claim to be, but it sure enough does what it says it will. Still not convinced? Check out the product reviews page at the top of drdicksexadvice.com. Scroll down till you find Review 21. There you'll find my review of Ropex, and like all my reviews, I give you my unvarnished opinion. Visit the Ropex website today. Look for their banner in the sidebar of my site. Okay, on with the show. Welcome, Jolene, and thank you for dropping by. It's so great to have you join us for an Erotic Mind podcast. And a great big shout-out to Jeremy Edwards, who hooked us up. Would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Hello, everyone. I'm in my PJs. I hope that doesn't bother all of you.
This is the beauty part of interviews online. I love your website, jolenehooey.com. I'm particularly enamored by all the beautiful photos of you, none of which feature you in your pajamas, I might add.
Yeah, these pajamas are big flannel-type pajamas. Not very pretty.
But functional.
But they're very functional and comfortable and perfect for a Saturday morning.
Excellent. You are so gosh darn pretty, darling, I gotta say. I mean, I love your photos. You ought to be in the movies.
Thank you. Well, if you can get me some movie roles, I'd be happy to do them.
And apparently you're not just a pretty face. You're a journalist and a playwright and a prolific author of short stories. Have I left anything out?
Oh, well, I cooked breakfast this morning and I cooked dinner last night, so I guess I'm kind of a chef. No, I have. Yeah, I've been writing since I was old enough to write, pretty much. And I joined my junior high newspaper when I was in seventh grade, and I've been writing ever since.
No kidding.
And the playwriting came in after I'd done some acting. I've done a lot of theater, and I like to focus on character, so playwriting seemed to be a good way for me to focus on character, obviously.
Right. How many publications, hard copy, web-based, have you got out there?
I have in front of me. I'm sitting at my desk right now, and I have all my books in front of me. And I
like your children.
I am in 14 anthologies and one ebook anthology. I'm missing one of them. The publisher's lagging on it. So
damn,
I am
publisher.
Missing one. Yeah. It came out in November, and I haven't received it yet. Three of those are non-erotic. The rest are erotic. I'm going to be in an upcoming antho and an upcoming ebook.
Cool beans.
Like
listen,
this spring.
I want to make sure that you know that you are welcome to burst into reading examples of your work at any moment. Talking about the erotic mind is swell and all, but savoring the fruits of that mind's labor is even better.
Do you want me to read something right now?
You're welcome to do whatever you want whenever you want to do it.
Well, I selected a few different excerpts, so...
Okay, cool.
If
well,
this
why don't
is
we
the
do
time...
that? Why don't we launch into that and hear a piece of your work?
Okay. Let me see what I have here. I think I will start with a little clip from something I wrote called Casual Friday. It was published in Open for Business, edited by Allison Tyler. And let me see here. Let me find something sexy for you guys.
Cool.
Okay. That night at Rogers, I was on my stomach on the floor. Roger had my ass cheeks parted and was looking slowly at my crack. My hands were under my chin. I could see pieces of lint in his carpet. I closed my eyes and tried to enjoy the experience. Roger was an expert ass licker. He really did have a knack for doing things with his tongue. I started wiggling my thighs. He's already eaten my pussy for an hour. My juices were all over his carpet, but I knew I was going to come again from his rim job. His tongue teased around the edge. Then he spread me wider and plunged his tongue inside me. I squealed as he licked and plunged until my cunt contracted again. I put my face on the carpet and breathed, lost once more in thoughts of Mark. Would he rim me, or would he want my tongue in his ass? Roger stuck his fingers in my pussy with one hand and jerked off with the other. I felt his cum hit my back as I imagined Mark fucking me against his desk. Could you take care of my plants this weekend? Roger asked me when I was getting dressed. I wasn't even aware he had plants. He put his keys in my hand. Just water the plants Friday and Saturday. I'll be back on Sunday, so you don't have to worry about that day. Where are you going? To see my parents. I'll call you when I get back. He leaned over and kissed my cheek. I left with a puzzled look. I was irritated that he had randomly asked me to water his plants. Why would I water his fucking plants? Who was I to water his plants? Most of the time I felt like I was doing him a favor by letting him eat me and then watching or listening to him jerk off. I wanted hard cock. I smacked the steering wheel with my hands. Roger's keys dug into my pocket. Casual Fridays meant jeans, and I was sure to wear my most expensive and tightest pair. Every step I took in the form-fitting denim made me ache for Mark's cock. Mark was in his office. His dark hair was messy, and he wasn't wearing a suit, but he still looked slick as hell. The blue button-up shirt was pressed, but not too pressed. I stood in his doorway. He turned around and looked me up and down. Do you need anything? I asked him. He opened his mouth to say something and then closed it again. My black sweater was transparent if you look close enough. Mark was staring. I took another step into his office, then closed the door behind me. What are you doing tonight? He fiddled with his fingers. I was temporarily speechless. I studied his face. Nothing planned. Why? As I had been doing for days, I pictured Mark's cock inside of me. Do you want to have dinner? Of course. I couldn't believe he'd asked me. I'll pick you up at 8. I smiled into his dark brown eyes, then I walked toward his desk. I smiled at him as I wrote down Roger's address on a post-it. I had to water his plants anyway, and his penthouse was a perfect place for Mark to pick me up. I made sure to shake my ass as I left his office. I touched myself in Roger's shower. I was slick under the water. The folds of my pussy were ready for a cock. I inserted a finger and played with my clit with the other hand. I breathed in the steamy air but was interrupted when the doorbell rang. Fuck, I said, quickly turning off the shower and grabbing a white towel. I wrapped it around me and without thinking ran to the door, dripping wet. Mark's mouth dropped open. I stood there in a towel with sopping wet hair. Sorry, I'm not ready. I glanced at the clock and it was 7:30. I knew I hadn't misread the time. He was anxious. Let me. I'm early. He was dressed in jeans and a black button-up with gray pinstripes. His black glasses frames were shiny in the penthouse light. I won't take long. I could feel his eyes on me as I walked to the bedroom. The bedroom was open with huge windows and a balcony. It connected to the living room where Mark was standing. I dried off near the window. It wasn't dark, and, almost perfectly, the sun was setting. I didn't think I could make it to the dress, and I was right. I dropped my towel, my hair still wet, and walked to the arch between the living room and the bedroom. Mark was on me almost immediately. His hands grabbed me all over, touching my breasts and sliding down my body and grabbing my lower back, my ass, and my thighs. I undid his belt and felt him hard underneath his silk boxers. I got to my knees and put his cock in my mouth, keeping one hand on the shaft and one hand on his thighs. "Oh, baby, yeah," he said, his hands in my wet hair. I sucked him delicately, then a little more firmly while stroking his smooth penis. I didn't get too far. He grabbed me by the shoulders, turned me around, and I dropped down on all fours. His wet fingers were in my pussy. I arched my back. "Mark," I moaned. I heard him tearing open a condom wrapper. He took his fingers out of me. I looked back to see him rolling the condom on. His cock was in my pussy quickly. I screamed. Roger wasn't there to scold me for bothering the neighbors, and I didn't care anyway. He ran me furiously, but I had been wet for him for so many months there was no way he could chafe me. He grabbed my hips. The heels of my hands dug into the carpet. I looked out the windows to see the sun going down. The balcony looked so welcoming. I wanted him to bend me over the railing. "Wait," I said. I walked over to the door and opened it. "But it's still light outside." He was worried that people might see. And that's it for that one. Let's start off graphic, people.
I guess so. Holy cow. No wonder you're so published. So listen.
Yeah, it was funny. I've started to help host the In the Flesh reading series here in Los Angeles. And my co-host, Stan Kent, he had some prizes to give away. And for those prizes, he had a couple of people read portions of my erotica for the audience. And it was pretty funny to hear people read my writing.
Gosh, I would guess so.
I really enjoyed it. I'm like, yeah, I wrote that hot.
So before we get to discussing erotic art in general and your work in particular, let's talk about you. Is
okay.
Jolene Huey your real name?
It is.
It is.
It is my real name. I definitely go by my real name. Everything I've written has been by Jolene Huey. Jolene is actually my middle name. My first name, which I will not disclose at this time, is actually my grandmother's name. My mom wanted to name me after my grandmother, and she also wanted, well, she wanted a daughter named Jolene. Mm-hmm. And the
Who
other way around.
Doesn't want a daughter named Jolene?
No. It's fitting,
isn't
it?
I want a daughter named Jolene.
My name is fitting, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. It is. It is.
So anyway, Jolene, the other name, didn't sound good in that order, so Jolene is my middle name because it sounded better, but she wanted to call me Jolene.
Cool. So you haven't found the need to write under a pseudonym, to protect the guilty, as it were.
You know, no, because I'm very proud of all my writing, and I want all of that writing to be under my name.
Yes. I feel the same way. I mean, the line of gay porn that I produce, I put my own real name on all of my products for that very reason.
You're proud of it, right?
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's not the best, pornography out there, but it's good enough to carry my name. And I think that since I was doing some really interesting and stuff at Daddy-O Productions, I thought, why not? I think one of the real problems with erotica and pornography and whatnot out in the popular culture is that a lot of people are creating stuff not under their real name, and so it really doesn't make any difference if they create junk, and that just
is true. They don't have to be held accountable for it because their name's not connected to it.
That's right. Can you give us a brief bio?
Well, I could give you the brief bio that I send out with all my writing, or I could just tell you a little bio.
Whatever your little heart desires, darling.
Well, let's see. Well, I was born in Boise, Idaho.
Get out.
Yeah. 29 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I moved to San Diego in 2002. Mm-hmm. That was after I graduated from college, and I had worked a little bit. And there in San Diego, I was doing a lot of writing, a lot of theater, and then I got bored and moved to LA in October of 2006.
Cool.
So that is a very brief bio for you.
The city of the fallen angels.
Yeah, it's lovely. I love it here.
Do you really? That
mm-hmm.
makes one of us.
And I was going to say, you're in Seattle, correct?
I sure am.
When I was growing up, being in Boise, I always dreamed of being in Seattle. I wanted to go to college there and work in a coffee shop and write and enjoy the rain. And then as I got older, I realized I don't like that kind of weather and I don't like snow, so that's why I moved to Southern California.
Good for you. But and you still can wear your beret and serve coffee in LA.
That is true, yes. And then go to the beach after.
So you mentioned a bit ago how you got your start as a writer back in grade school or middle
yes.
school. How did you get your start as an erotic author?
That happened, and I think it was like 2005. I had taken some time off of work because I wanted to focus on my writing.
Uh-huh.
I graduated from college in 2000, and since then I'd been working in advertising and marketing, and I just hadn't really worked on my writing. And I've always been a writer, and I've always written fiction. I studied fiction in college,
uh-huh.
and I wanted to be a published writer, and I just hadn't done it yet, so I quit my job in 2005 and just wanted to focus on writing. I hadn't been published. None of my fiction had been published at that
uh-huh.
time.
Uh-huh.
And so I was working on my writing. And then someone I had worked with in theater in San Diego had told me about a call for submissions for the book Sex and Candy. And he said, you should try this, because he knew that I was working on my writing. And the writer I'm talking about is Michael Hemmingson.
Mm-hmm.
He has a million books out there. Anyway, so he sent me that call for submissions. And I'm like, well, maybe I'll try writing something erotic. And keep in mind that I had never written anything erotic before. So I was just going off of what I thought.
And
would
you're
be
a nice girl from Boise. So.
Well, I don't
I mean,
know
what do
about
you know
that.
About erotica?
Well, I don't know. I started reading. This is a different story, but I did start reading romance novels when I was about 10 years old.
That'll get you.
My grandma read them, and she would give them to me to read, and she would do this funny thing where she would write the page numbers of sex scenes down, like in the front cover, and say, Jolene, don't read these pages. And
okay,
what would
Grandma.
I do? I would turn to the pages and read them. I'm 10 years old. I'm like, So, yeah. So that's, I always had the sex writing in my head.
Got it.
From a young age. So anyway, I get this call for submissions. I think I should try something. And so I wrote a story, I submitted it, and it got accepted.
Get out. Wow. First time out.
Yeah, the first time. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should stick with this. I really like it. I got accepted, and I know how hard it is for writers to get published.
Right. Especially in this genre, too. I mean, there's lots of people cranking out lots of stuff, as I've discovered.
Oh, really? I'm not even aware. I just do my own thing. It's so non-mainstream, like as we're going to probably talk about later.
Yeah.
That I didn't think about it before, sorry.
As you know, my primary reason for doing this series of interviews is to uncover something of the creative process.
Mm-hmm.
Is it safe to assume that you are not living the life of a full-time sexual athlete? We're going to X out your name when you...
no, I'm actually not. I have had my times, but no, I am not. This is not my life all the time.
So
I just have a very active imagination.
Uh-huh. So what does spark the images that become your stories?
Well, my sex drive is pretty much on overload all the time. I think about sex 24/7, so anything can spark my mind. I mean, sometimes smells do, like if I smell a woman's perfume or a man's cologne or aftershave, or sometimes if I see something sexy, like a woman's sexy ankle or like the right amount of stubble on a man's face, I could be triggered by anything, really.
You know, that's
a very sexual person.
That's a very interesting thing that that you bring up, the impact our senses have.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Many people are not even paying that close of attention, and you know, they're moving through life like an automaton. And I'm thinking that, you know, some of us, you, myself included, are attuned to the things out there that are signaling us, and oftentimes signaling us in a sexual sort of way or an erotic sort of way. And it would seem to me that people who, you know, could allow themselves the freedom to be more present to the stimulus that that is coming to them from the world around them, they could be as sexually charged as you or
well,
I for
they need
matter.
To stop and smell the roses, huh?
and then get down on all fours.
Well, I don't usually do that in the middle of the elevator, but
right, or on the first date necessarily.
Yeah, not necessarily.
So most of the erotica that I've read is exceptionally brief, yet very powerful, and because of its brevity, every word must count. The same is true for your work too, right?
Yeah, I would say so. All my writing is under 15 pages usually on my stories, and I have no attention span at all, and so it really works for me because I like to read short stories. And so it's easy for me to write them. Of course, I really have been feeling lately like I need to write a novel, but...
Interesting. Would it be an erotic novel? Or
yes, it would be.
Yeah. I was talking to Donna George Story about this very thing, and she was saying that, you know, she writes novels and she writes short stories, and I said, where are you going to go next? And she was telling me about, you know, ideas for a novel. And I said, will it be erotic? And she says, I cannot not write erotic stuff.
You know, seriously, when I write just plain, like, literary fiction, so to speak, there's all sex always plays a part in it. And it's just part of me, so I can't help it. That's just me. So I see what she means.
Exactly that. So let me... follow up on that last question then. How do you build attention, so to speak, in such a petite work of art?
I just think it's important to always have tension.
Uh-huh.
So to start with that tension and just carry it throughout. Of course, there needs to be a climax, so to speak.
As it were.
But just build that tension even more. So there's tension, 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 more tension, and then maybe a resolution.
So it's like a sexual response cycle, yes?
But yeah, somewhat, I guess. Never thought of it that way. Lots of tension. Yeah, I have a lot of tense muscles. God, no wonder my shoulders are always so tense. Never thought of it that way.
And everyone was thinking that it was just hunkering down over a computer keyboard. No, that ain't it.
Definitely not.
So defining erotic art is difficult since perceptions about what is erotic and what is art fluctuate with time and by culture. For example, the depiction of a phallus in some cultures is not erotic but merely a common symbol of potency and fertility. The same is true about words. Would you not agree?
Well, that's definitely true.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it depends on the culture.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I'm in conservative hell right now.
So obviously some words are more erotically charged than others, but even that is culturally and historically determined.
Well, yeah, I mean, saying cunt in the U.S. and saying cunt in the U.K. are two different things.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it just really depends.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is. It is, you know, and just a... and in more repressed societies, one has to couch the eroticism in words that could be, well, like double entendre, you know? I mean, it's just like, well, that's not what I was talking about.
Yeah.
There's an out for those people who actually have to express themselves, but... can't do so because of the repression in the society.
Yeah, it's just so strange to me. I just don't understand it. I don't get it. I just don't comprehend, like, thinking, oh, my God, she said pussy. That's a bad word.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even get in the mind frame of someone who would think that way.
You know, and that's the kind of vocabulary that I use on my site all the time. I mean, not only in my podcast, but, you know, in my written posts and stuff. And I am regaled against, on a regular basis, by people, you know, who think that it's inappropriate for a professional person like myself, you know, to be talking in such language. You know, and they write to me and say, you know, if you really were a professional, you wouldn't say pussy.
What? You're like, they're words.
Mm-hmm.
They're all words, and who's to say what's appropriate and what's not?
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. I guess, you know, it's the audience and, you know, what they feel comfortable with and what they don't. Is writing for a female audience different from writing for a male audience, or is there a difference in your mind?
I don't think there's a difference, because to me, sex is sex.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, maybe you should ask my audience. As a writer, I don't write it differently.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not sure and for me as a reader, I don't think I read it differently, because I've read different kinds of erotica.
Uh-huh. And so if a publisher, you know, sent out a call for a submission and or a magazine, a men's magazine, and, you know, they like Donna was saying that she has written for some men's magazines, and you know, she didn't think that she was writing different sorts of in a different sort of way, but she was conscious of the fact that the magazine had expectations, you know, about the kind of stuff she was to produce for the magazine.
Oh yeah, well, of course. I mean, if I'm writing for different kinds of publications, I'm going to write it appropriate for publication. But as for, like, a male and female audience, I don't know if there's a difference.
Well, that's good to know. That's good to know. Because, I this is not something that I do or actually know how to do, write erotica. And I was always wondering, you know, where I would begin if I was to start doing this. And I try to imagine, you know, my audience, and would I use different words, different phraseology, different, maybe a different psychology, if I'm producing a work for one audience as opposed to another. Like in my work as a pornographer, I was really clear that I wanted to do something different than what was going on, you know, in the mainstream gay porn. And so I did things that were more romantic and alluring and seductive rather than just bumping parts. and that appealed to some people and not to others. I mean, a lot of aficionados of, you know, gay porn ripped my stuff and said, you know, you did not follow the porn rule. You know, you have to
said, what is this romance nonsense?
And, you know, you're supposed to have X amount of cum shots, you know, per 20 minutes. And, you know, I didn't follow that. Maybe I didn't know that there was there. And so, but lots of other people like it because it is different. You know that you're watching something. You know that you're watching porn, but a different kind of porn.
Well, it's hard to please everyone.
It's true enough.
You can make something that create a product that you are proud of, and then, you know, you'll please some people, but uh-huh. not everyone's going to love it.
Uh-huh. So would you say that you are your main audience? If you find it erotic and charming or interesting or sexy, then you think that it's probably going to fit the bill?
Well, I don't know. My stuff seems to work as of now, so I'm thinking, yeah.
Cool.
If I find it sexy, someone else has got to think it's sexy, right?
At least someone as perverse as you.
You know, one that you asked me about writing for a female audience and a male audience, if they're different, because last night my boyfriend said something really funny to me. He said, "You're a weird dude." He said to me, and I'm like, "What? What did you say?" He said, "You're a man trapped in a woman's body."
You know, like, there's something to that, is there not? I mean, would you not agree with him in some fashion or another?
Yeah, I do. I do agree with him in that fashion, and I do have gay friends who think that I am a gay man trapped in a woman's body. So it was just funny. He said, "You're a weird dude." I said, "That is the funniest thing anyone has ever said to me."
I'll show you how weird I am. As she drops her pants. Oh my gosh, look at the time. I gotta go. And can I invite you back for next week?
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Oh, good. Because we didn't get through half of the questions that I wanted to ask.
I'll be my pajamas if that's okay.
Good. Alrighty. Well, thank you very much. And between now and next week, we'll be visiting you in cyberspace.
Alright. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow, what a fantastic show, huh? Tune in next week for part two with my interview with Jolene Hui and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Ropex. I know a lot of you guys got it in your head that the amount of cum you produce and the velocity of your money shot are somehow associated with virility. Well, I don't buy that logic necessarily, but who among us doesn't like a nice puddle of dick wad to play with and admire? Ropex can help you boost the volume of your ejaculate and thus increase your orgasmic contractions. And I'm happy to recommend Ropex to anyone who worries about puny spunk production. Again, I invite you to check out my review of Ropex on the product reviews page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for Review 21. Also, look for Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. Once in the podcast section, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice, and don't forget to subscribe. And while you're there, feel free to leave a comment. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.